Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Holidays are amazing, right? They're the time of rest, of pausing, of reflection. And I don't know about you, but it usually takes me a few days to do those. Do you know the first few days of a holiday, you just feel like slobbing out? Is that a good term to use? Just kind of relaxing and not doing a lot and just read a book or two. We've done plenty of that over the holidays. But after a while, you begin to reflect. Don't you? Your brain comes back a bit and you begin to think about, well, my future and going back to work or back to the family or back to church, all of that. And you begin to reflect and think, you begin to maybe dream and hope and think, well, what do I want to achieve in the next season of my life? And I got chance to do some of that while I was in America in some really nice places. We went tubing down the River Delaware, which took about 6 hours. We just sat in, big tires, big kind of tractor tire type thing. We're kind of floating down and it was very nice. So the long drives through the countryside. Even we went to a fun park. I like fun parks, though I have discovered, due to my age, that being thrown around at silly speeds with different G-forces is beginning to hurt my back. Don't tell my kids, otherwise they'll tease me forever. Oh, Jonathan, you didn't hear that because you're in Lancaster, are you? Yeah. But there's one particular, right? Anyway, but I discovered, oh, Jonathan's there. Hi, Jonathan. Thomas. Jonathan. Jonathan's there. Thomas is there. Abigail's serving kids. Right. The ride I loved the most was a zero gravity ride. Do you know when you get thrown right up the top of a tower, like 100 meters, 150 meters high, and then they hold you there for a tantalizing few seconds? Jill's looking horrified at the thought of that. And then it kind of goes a bit, but it doesn't really go. And then it lets you go, and you just drop like a stone. That ride is awesome, right? And I was sat at the top of that thing, did it a few times, looking out at the countryside and pondering and pausing, looking forward to the experience of zero gravity. I love it, right? It's fun, isn't it? No. Yes. Who go yes? Oh, who go no? Who really doesn't care? Yeah, that's the rest of you. And think about plans and, well, how to be successful. For me, I always start with Jesus. How am I going to be successful in my life in relation to Jesus? Jesus is the one who died for me, the one I worship, the one I follow. And I always think, well, how am I going to be successful? And for me, Jesus and church, it's all mixed up. I can't serve Jesus and achieve what he wants to do in my life without you guys, right? And actually, you can't achieve what Jesus wants to do in your life without us guys, right? And so I know Jesus and us, we're connected. It's a biblical principle, which I'll come on to in a second. But also family. Jonathan's quite keen on a young lady at the moment. Who knows what might happen there, hey? My other son is, I better not say anything because he's sat there, but what's going to happen in family? What about my personal life and my objectives there? And I was been thinking about this, and in the 15 minutes or so that are left, I want to share you three things that I'm going to try and put in my life in the next season, which I hope and pray will help me to succeed in my life. And if this is your first time in church, you might say, well, to be honest, I'm not a Christian, Pastor Ed. I've just come either. I don't know why I've got through the door, but I'm here, or a friend's dragged me, or I'm a relative, and I'm just, to be honest, keeping somebody else happy in my life, and that's why I'm here. These three things will help your life, whether or not you believe in God yet. I hope and pray you do believe in God soon, but whether you do or don't, these three things will help you anyway. And I've entitled them three devoted things. Three devoted things, brackets, to fulfill my dreams. To fulfill my dreams. I just want to pray again before I do them. Father, I pray, as I just speak, that you'll help each person that listens to this message or is hearing live now. God, that you would speak to them about one or two things that they need to put their attention to that they need to be more devoted to. Because, Father, I know you long, and we long, I long, that each one of us may be successful in every area of our life. You've called us to live a blessed life, a more abundant life. And so, Father, as I speak, I pray that your Spirit would just flow in me and through me into every heart and life. I pray for every Christian here that you may speak to them directly, and anybody who doesn't know you, God, be gracious. Speak to them. Encourage them. May they know that you are real. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, I believe and I want to be more devoted to my personal engagement with life. My personal engagement with life. The reason being is I like the TV. And I have discovered Netflix. Has anybody else discovered Netflix? Netflix has box sets, doesn't it? And you can start a box set, can't you? And you can watch it all the way through. And I know some of you sat there going, I did that. Do you remember when 24 came out? Do you remember 24? Do you remember it's like, I just watch one more, then I'll go to bed. We actually bought three seasons. I can't remember which ones. I think they were 4, 5, and 6. And we lent them to some friends of ours down in Cornwall. And we gave them to our friends, and they took them home. The next day was bank holiday, okay? And so they start, I think they've done they were kind of the next three in that day. And I didn't know, but 4 or 5 months later, when we bumped into them again, and they brought the box set back, I said, how'd it go? He said, yeah, we were really bad. I said, why? I said, well, we started watching them on Monday morning. It was bank holiday. And so we watched them all. The whole set, the whole first series. And we didn't get much sleep that night because we watched the whole lot. I said, all right, okay. And then we got back from work on Tuesday and we watched half the next one. It took them 5 days to watch three series. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm not that bad, but you know what the feeling's like? Or I know, I don't because I'm not a technophobe, but I don't really, but some people are on the phones the whole time, aren't they? Games or Facebook or whatever it is. I like TV. I like Star Trek, and I can now watch all the Star Trek episodes over and over again. And it's just dangerous. And so I've come back, must personally engage with life better and not waste as much time. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says this, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your TV couch or your game console or your football play person? What's a game you like, Dave? Football manager. From your football manager game, apply it to yourself. When do you get up from your... A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. I want to be engaged with life. And I believe that's the only way to be successful in life. For your dreams and for the things that God has placed on your heart to actually happen. It's actually to get to stuck into life and with God's help to work hard and make them happen. Now, I'm also determined I want to rest well. I want to work really hard on working. I want to rest. I want to do both. I want to engage with both properly. So when I'm resting, do some exercise, do some read, do something that stimulates my soul and my being as well. I want to engage life and use my resources well, be it my personal resources or other resources, my time, my energy, my thing. I want to try and keep healthy. I want to be efficient. I want to stay positive. I want to engage with life. But I also want to engage spiritually. Ephesians 6 is a famous passage of scripture. And the apostle Paul writes this, Ephesians 6 verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He's saying, God's with you. Be strong. Put on. You have to take it. It's not going to come out. You have to put it on. You have to do an action. Put on the full armor of God. And he goes on to talk about the full armor of God, which I'm not going to talk about because I don't have time. But put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. I want to be personally involved in the spiritual battle of my life, not just for my life, but for my family's life, for my church's life, for this country's life, for this one. I want to be personally engaged. I don't want to waste it. I want to rest, but I don't want to waste it. There's a time for playing games. There's nothing wrong with Football Manager. If it's, there's nothing wrong with watching TV. It's about a fully engaging with life, working hard, being dedicated, both in what we do and what we rest in. The second thing is this. I want to be devoted to my spiritual family. I want to be devoted to my community, to the local bride of Christ. I believe I will achieve far less if I'm not fully engaged in my spiritual family. Acts 2, verse 42. Luke kind of summarizes what happened after the first kind of Pentecost Sunday, when God's Spirit came and 3,000 people were saved on that first message. Acts 2, verse 42, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to learning within the body of Christ. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to each other. The word fellowship means community. It means us. It means the bride of Christ. Both for giving and receiving, they devoted themselves to the fellowship, and they would receive from each other and they would give to each other. They were committed to the breaking bread of doing life together and remembering all that Jesus has done. I mean, all of you know, right? It's easier to follow anything if you do it with a crowd than it is on your own, right? It's the same following Jesus. It's the same remembering what Jesus has done. It's just easier doing it together than it is on your own. And they devoted themselves to making sure they're doing it together. They devoted themselves to prayer. Acts 4, verse 32, Luke goes on to say this. All the believers were were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. Wow. I want to be more committed, more devoted to my spiritual family. Being one of heart and mind. Remember Jesus in John 17, verse 20 and 21 said, Father, I pray that those coming after me will be united so that they can show the world of our love. But also more committed to sharing of stuff. My stuff will be our stuff. I don't know whether you've realized, if we could be a church where my stuff was your stuff and your stuff was my stuff, how much stuff we'd have, right? We were in America and we went to somebody's house. He had four cars. And there was only three drivers. He had four cars because he liked collecting cars. He wasn't super rich or anything. He just liked collecting cars. But every time Pastor DJ and Karen came, he said to them, pick a car, it's yours. Isn't that amazing? He was a supercar freak, but he realized if he's going to buy them, he had to share them. Isn't that awesome? And that's the sort of person I want to be, that I will be devoted to my spiritual family in sharing. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, talks about us being a body that's intertwined, that cannot be separated, that is needed. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, the body is a unit. We are a unit. We're not separate individuals that happen to meet together. We form one body. Whether we like it or not, how well we do, how well I do impacts you. And how well you do impacts me. Scary thought, right? Especially as we get bigger as a church. So it means that your impact impacts more and more people. It's a brilliant thing as well, because it means all your positive contributions impact more and more people, the wider and bigger that we get. Verse 29 says, no, verse 27. Did you get 27? Did I put 29? Well, it's 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. The thing is, we don't have a choice. If you follow Christ, you are part of his bride. You are part of his body. It's tough. If you don't like people who are Christians, unlock it. You're still going to spend eternity with them. That's what I always tell myself when I meet somebody I don't like who's a Christian. I go, I don't like you, but I will put up with you and I will love you because I have to. Do you not feel like that sometimes? I'm going to have to like you because you're a Christian. I'm praying and believing that when I get to eternity, God will sort out the rest. Did nobody else feel like that? Do you meet everybody and love them all instantly? Really? Thank you. I won't say anything, but somebody say, no, I agree with you, Eddie. If you've never met anybody that you don't like yet, you need to get out more. Right. And the thing is, Luke records the impact of being devoted to a spiritual family. I just want to read these to you. Actually, how important it is for us as individual and a community to be together, to be devoted to spiritual family if we're going to be successful. It says this. So Acts 3, we've already read verse 42. So 43 says this. Everyone was filled with awe. Why were they filled with awe? Because they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It wasn't even any miracles or anything. It was just they were hanging out together. And everybody was filled with awe. Isn't that amazing? Because we can do that, right? We can do that. They were filled with awe, and because of what they were doing, many wonders and miraculous signs. It was because of what they were doing, God was blessing them, not the other way around. It's important. I just make that point. Were being done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who had been saved. Man, I wish, I long, I dream that one day we as a fellowship, we as a church would see people being saved every single day, not just on a weekend. Wouldn't that be awesome? Acts 4, we've read 32, 33 says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. And there was no needy person among them. Isn't that cool? Devoted to my spiritual. And thirdly, devoted to my God wholeheartedly. Devoted to my God wholeheartedly. I know we've finished the King series, but can I cheat and do a bit from Chronicles? I'm allowed to do that, right? I can, because I'm senior pastor, so I will do it anyway. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm just going to check, actually, it might be chapter 14. I didn't write it down. 2 Chronicles. You can turn your Bibles if you have a Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we get introduced to a king called Asa, A-S-A. Asa is, he is the sixth king. I'm just working ahead. So Solomon, David, Saul.
Saul.
I see some of you spell that. Saul, King David, King Solomon. The kingdom split. You remember all this, don't you, from the King series? Yeah, of course you do. No, you don't. Then after Solomon, the kingdom split. And in the south, in Judah, it was Rehoboam, and then Abijah, and then there was Asa. So he's still in kind of the relatively early stages. His father, Abijah, had only reigned for three years. But he'd actually gone to battle with the armies of Israel across the border. And this would be a well-known story to Asa. Abijah had 400,000 men, which is a lot, right? But Israel, the northern kingdom, had 1.3 million men at that stage in their history. 400,000 v 1.3 million. I mean, who should win that one? I mean, it's going to be a mess, I know, but who should win that one? I mean, it's one-sided. But Abijah had prayed and God had given Judah victory. It was a brutal victory. Hundreds of thousands of the northern nation got killed. But anyway, but he prayed to God and God answered his heart cry. And Asa would have known that. Now, Asa reigned for 41 years, which was a long time. For the first 10 years, he had no main wars at all. There was always skirmishes, so don't think it was violence-free. There'd always be local skirmishes and raiding parties, but there was no major set-piece war for him to be involved with. But after 10 years, the Egyptian army, under Zerah, you can read about it in 2 Chronicles 14, decided to invade southern Israel, Judah. His grandfather, we think, had done that a long time before to Rehoboam. And Rehoboam in desperation, had allowed the king of Egypt to really rob the nation. You know, all the gold that Solomon had stored up, you know, it says that there was gold without measure pretty much, and silver wasn't even worth counting. All that disappeared to Egypt. And this new Egyptian king decided it was time to raid Israel again. So he came with over 1 million men and 300 chariots. Now think of chariots as tanks. They had big long blades sticking out the wheels. They would mow down people. And it's a shooting platform, and you'd have two or three or four, depending on the size of the chariot, shooting arrows at people as they went. And they were very skilled. They were like tanks. They killed a lot of people. And Asa managed to scrape together, he didn't do bad, 580,000. So it's not bad, right? But he was going to lose. But Asa prayed. 10 years into his reign, he prayed. God handed over. And the Bible says, barely a man of the Egyptian army got home.
Wow.
Barely a man got home. That was chapter 14. Chapter 15, there's a great celebration and the prophets kind of praise Asa for his bravery and for his trust in God. In chapter 16, which is about 16 years later, the Israelite king decides to have a war with the Judah king. The reason being, you can read it in 2 Chronicles 15:9, is there's a lot of the northern kingdom people have been going south. So as Asa's got stronger, the worship of God's got stronger, people in the north who love Jehovah, because the Israelites in the north were worshipping Baals and images, have gone south. And I'm talking hundreds of thousands of people have transferred from the northern kingdoms. And he's not happy about this, so he decides to go to war with him. And in this particular, we don't know the numbers because it never comes to that. Because the king of Israel, Asa, rather than pray and trust in God, he gathers together all the gold, all the silver, everything he can muster, sticks it on some carts, and he sends it to the Aramean king, the other side of Israel. So kind of even further north than the northern kingdom, and bribes him to attack the Israelite king from the north so that he will no longer threaten his kingdom, but he'll have to turn around and go and cope with the threat in the north. And that's what he does. Now, in one sense, it's kind of makes military sense, makes common sense, right? I can't win this. I'll get somebody else who's stronger to help me so that I won't lose it. But it wasn't the right thing to do. And I just want to read you the story, and then I want to read you what God says about it, and then I'll finish. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasa, king of Israel, went up against Judah, fortified various cities to stop people entering and leaving the territory of Asa. So Asa took the silver and gold out of the treasures of the Lord's temple and from his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. Let there be a treaty between me and you, he said, as there was between my father and your father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasa, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. And they conquered loads of them. And when Baasa heard about this, he stopped building and abandoned his work, took his army, went north to sort the problem out in the north. And then King Asa brought all the men of Judah and they carried away all the stones and timber that King Baasa had been using. With them, he built various places. And then this happened. At that time, Hananiah, the seer, or the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand, i.e. you would have eventually defeated him as well if you trusted in God. Were not the Cushites, they're the Egyptians, and the Libyans, a mighty army with greater numbers of chariots and horsemen. Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. And then he says this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. I want to be devoted to my God. Why? Because God has promised, and he's looking, and he is near, he is close to you, to me. He is looking and seeking out those who will be wholeheartedly devoted to him. Another version says this. It says that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly attend. He won't just be with you. He wants to show himself that he's strong, that he is able, that he's capable to take care of you, to overcome your issues, your problems, the battles that you are facing, either earthly ones or spiritual ones. I want to have God's strength in my life. I believe with God's strength in my life, nothing is too hard for me to overcome. Nothing is too difficult for me to go through the midst of. All of us will face battles. Maybe not physical battles in the sense that we have to go to war, but battles of death or battles of illness or battles of loss, battles of relationships or finance. We'll go through battles, and I want God's strength in my life. I want to be wholeheartedly devoted to him so he can show me his strength in and through my difficulties and my weaknesses. I want to be devoted to be personally engaged with life, devoted to my spiritual family, and devoted to being with my God wholeheartedly. I believe if I can manage to do these in ever greater measure, that God will help me to achieve the things that he's placed in my heart, the dreams, the visions, the hopes I have, not just for church life, though as I said, I always start with Jesus and the church, but also my family life and my finances and all the other things. Why? Because Jesus has promised me in John 10:10 to give me life and life in all its abundance, in all its fullness. How about you as we start autumn? Where are you? I'll just kind of wander way through life and hope for the best. Or are you going, no, actually, I want to succeed. I have dreams. I have things I want to do. I want things I want to go at, both for Jesus and for the related things in family life or business life or relationships, whatever. Can I encourage you to be personally engaged with your life? Perhaps this morning, like I did over my holidays, you need to sit down and think and say, God, help me to stop watching Netflix as much. Very practical. Perhaps your prayer, because actually every time you go home, press the button, off it pings, and that's it. Your evening is gone. Perhaps it's a computer game. Whatever it is, you know, could be some kind of social interaction. I need to be personally engaged with life, working hard and resting well, but I'm doing both with purpose because I'm engaged with them. Perhaps that's it. And you might go away, wow, that's super practical on Sunday morning. Yeah, but it could change your life forever. It really could. Imagine all the hours you're going to get back, the things you could do with them, the things you could achieve, that which you could learn. Oh, I mean, perhaps it could be, you know, I need to be devoted to my spiritual family. I put this one out. I need to stop attending. I need to say this is mine. You see, if you're a Christian, the church you go to is yours, whether you want to accept it or not. The only question is, have you made it your own? Not is it my own, have I made it my own? And perhaps you're going to go, you know, I need to be committed to this guy. Now, it could be due to work or circumstances. Actually, all you do is can come on Sunday. But you're going to make it the most amazing Sunday for everybody else when you turn up. See, it's not necessarily about time. It's about what you do with the time that you have. You know, there's lots of young mums in this place and got small babies. Some are good, some are not so good, which means some of the mums are tired, but they have a choice every time they come through the door. Will they let their tiredness define how they are? You know, Claire and Jack have been serving this morning. Their baby is how long? 4 months old? 3 months old. And Jack got called when to play? Tuesday to play. And he said, I'll do it. Doesn't matter about my... Why? Because it's a mentality. I will be committed to my spiritual family. Perhaps you never served, you need to serve. Perhaps you need to get yourself to a connect group. It's about heart, right? It's not about doing, though doing often describes your heart or informs you of where your heart is. It's about, but I want to, how do I make sure I am devoted? Because as you give, all of us take steps forward. As you give, you take steps forward. It's the way the Bible is. Perhaps you need to be devoted to God wholeheartedly. You see, Asa, he'd done so many amazing things in uplifting the worship of Jehovah in Israel. And you could read his story. He was praised among the kings until his latter days, where his pride got in the way. But in the end, he decided he could sort things out when actually God could have sorted it out for him, because he lost his wholehearted devotion. And often when you find Jesus, you're wholeheartedly in. It's down the track, 5, 10, 20 years down the track, where you forget what Jesus has done, where you forget the importance of it, the amazement of understanding that God loved you and he would die for you, how precious you are in his sight. Regain that, or gain it for the first time, and be wholeheartedly devoted to your Savior. He will strengthen you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church, or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.